Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. On today's program, we begin by talking about giving and receiving time. It's something called time banking, kind of like bartering and trading skills. The concept is making time a kind of currency. I spoke recently with Chinchere Yokte. This St. Louisan is the founder of Cowrie Collective Time Bank. I asked for her definition of time banking.
While there's a lot of folks who do time bank throughout the country and in the UK, a lot of folks are not familiar with time banking. And so time banking is an exchange. So, for example, if you like to do, just say you like walking dogs, you offer walking dogs as a service in a time bank. You do that for 1 hour. Then you receive one time credit for that 1 hour that you've spent walking dogs. Now you can use that one time credit to receive 1 hour of service from anyone else in the time bank. So basically, you're taking money out of the equation and you're able to get services and skills that you need.
You walk the dog and then you are seeking reciprocity. Does it have to be an equal kind of service? Can it be anything?
It can be anything. So you might walk a dog and then you might receive private yoga lessons, or you might get help building a garden in your home, or you might get legal counsel. It's really an exchange of any services that any members in the time bank offer.
But it would seem to me that there would be an imbalance here. Walking the dog wouldn't be paid, if you will, with actual currency at the same rate that someone was maybe helping out build a patio or something like that. It might be a different rate for that service.
Correct. So in the capitalist or the market economy, we value those things differently by a dollar amount. So somebody who, to use your example, sure, someone who builds a patio or who's a construction person, I'm not sure. Let's just say they would make $50 an hour at that. And someone who walks a dog, let's just say that'd be $10 an hour. So there's an unequal payment for services in the market economy. In the time bank, which is a complementary currency, every service and every person is equally valued. And so because we all have the same amount of hours in our day, even if you're a lawyer, you still have 24 hours in your day.
You might bill for more than that, but
right. So in the time bank, you can't bill for more, and you can't you don't barter with people. So it's not a bartering system. It's not where you say, "I'm a lawyer. I believe that my 4 hours equal your 2 hours." So everyone's hour is worth everybody else's hour equally.
I've heard this spoken of as kind of an alternative currency. Once we put the word currency into the equation, you begin to think about such things as taxes.
Exactly. So you do have to know the rules. Like I said, it's not bartering. Bartering is taxable, and time banking is simply considered neighbor-to-neighbor volunteering. So it's not taxable.
You've given me the example of dog walking as one example. You have quite a number of people who are involved with your organization right now. Give me some other examples of the way this has been working.
I can give you some examples of the way I've used the time bank as well as others.
Sure.
So I've received home-cooked meals dropped off to me at work as I was heading home. I've also received carpentry work at my home. And that even includes someone who would walk me through what supplies I would need for a project, go and buy them, and then come and install them. You know, much more personal service and hands-on service than you'd receive if you called someone in the Yellow Pages. Well, we don't really use Yellow Pages anymore, but if you Googled it.
And what have you done in return for the services that you've received?
I have hundreds of cowries because I'm the founder, and so I'm constantly doing work for the time bank. And just to clarify, in our time bank, our time credits are called cowries. Hmm. But I have taught a green smoothie demo at an urban farm. So I taught a class, and I had some children attend that class. I've taken photographs for a friend. Recently, a friend had a gala at her birthing center, and I photographed the event for her, and that was paid for in cowries.
Well, how is it all managed? I mean, is there a central spot where all the information and all the various people who are involved in what they've done is assembled and cataloged?
Yes. So it's really – that's a key part of having a time bank, of course, is a tracking system. And so we use a free software called Our World, as in like an hour of time. Hundreds of time banks use this software. And so – in Our World, we have a members list. We have a list of all the offers, all the requests by category, and folks are able to contact each other because we have contact info as well.
It's also my understanding that that time banking obviously is beyond St. Louis. It's in other states and other places. If I've collected some cowries here in St. Louis and I go to Chicago, for instance, can I trade that time in Chicago?
You actually can. So Our World has something called intertrading. So any time banks who use the Our World software, and there are other softwares out there, but any time banks who use Our World can then intertrade. So there are things that you might, I give that example all the time. Like if a St. Louisan goes to Chicago and maybe just wants a day tour, you know, from somebody who lives there, you could use your time credits for that. Mm. But there's also a lot of services that could be exchanged over distance. You know, we can do life coaching or somebody could edit a book through, you know, Skype or through email communication.
So if I want to get involved in this, what do I do?
You visit our new website, new as of this spring. It's www.cowrycollective, which is C-O-W-R-Y, collective.org. And we have a join tab. And that's the first step in joining. We also have a monthly member orientation. We meet the second Sunday at 2 p.m. of every month. And then we have a $25 annual member dues fee as well.
We'll put the information concerning the website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. How is the $25 fee used? Just overhead for running this thing?
Yeah, it's really just used for covering costs like making flyers, business cards. We have social events for members a few times a year, so we buy food and drink for those events, and that's the basic. Those are the basic kind of costs it covers.
Well, what kind of operation do you have here in St. Louis in terms of people who are involved?
We have over 200 members. A time bank always has a larger membership and then a core membership that's more active. We have folks who are, you know, college students, to those who have permaculture certification to build gardens. We have folks who are professors, folks who do welding, language and music lessons, like I was mentioning. And then when you kind of when you pare it down, our leadership team is a smaller group. So we have a group of about 5 to 7 folks who are involved with meeting monthly and planning events and making sure that we're ready to do our orientations.
What's the most unusual request that you can recall here in St. Louis?
One of the most unusual offers is kiln repair. So repairing a kiln that you would use to fire clay. And so at one of our orientations, an artist was there, and he's a potter and a sculptor. And he said, I don't see kiln repair, you know, on the offers. Could you add that for me? And we actually can. We can alter the category. So we actually added that category for him.
Not many requests, I would guess, for kiln repair, but who knows?
Right.
When did this get started in St. Louis?
Cowry Collective started in 2010. That's when I founded it.
And how many hours are exchanged now through Cowry?
Oh, my goodness. I think our website said it's over 1,000. Maybe it was 1,400. I looked recently.
Why did all of this get started? Was it just an attempt by someone to say, hey, I can save some money if I can get this thing going?
You mean time banking in general or Cowry?
Yeah.
Time banking is popularized by Edgar Kahn. So he was a lawyer on the East Coast, and he suffered an injury, and he was in a hospital bed. And so he was really feeling helpless and useless. And so the idea came to him that everybody has something to offer no matter their condition, because he was put in a condition where he was feeling like he couldn't offer anything. And he came up with the idea of co-production, which is the idea that you and I can work together to solve a problem or come to a solution. Mm-hmm. And he really popularized time banking and put some language around it, and then wrote several books as well, and then founded Time Banks USA, which is a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C. that offers support to time banks. So I think time banking came around because for his individual epiphany was that everybody is valuable. But time banking really serves us in a variety of ways, including, sure, we don't have all the money we need to get the services that we desire. We might just want to connect with folks more because, you know, we're living in this age where everything is so digital and fast-paced, and social media isn't, you know, it's not the kind of socializing that we used to do.
And yet I would think that the digital world is a godsend for you because you're making use of it in your operation.
It is. It's a good way for us to connect members, but we do that connection via the web only so that members can then meet in person and be face-to-face and actually have a real exchange.
That brings to mind something that must have crossed your mind, or it must be something people are concerned about, and that is security. Because when you're dealing with people who are essentially strangers, you don't quite know who you're inviting into, you know, to do the carpentry work or do the garden for you. How do you deal with that?
Correct. So sometimes banks do background checks and some don't. So we do not do background checks. We don't have the administrative kind of capacity to handle all of that. In the beginning, I personally knew everybody who joined the time bank. And so, or I was one person removed from all the members. So I knew my experience was unique. And I knew other members have come to me and kind of wanted me to give my opinion on another member. Like, how is this person? Do you think I should do an exchange with them? So what I really encourage people to do is to come to our orientations. That's where you meet people face to face, as well as social events that we have. We're really encouraging people to meet people, kind of get their own vibe from people and go from there. And then we also have a number of member organizations. So you can do an exchange at our member organization sites. You could do a cooking exchange, for example, at Thomas Dunn Learning Center, one of our sites where they have a cooking kitchen. Or you could meet at a public library until you feel more comfortable.
It would seem to me that there is a liability issue here. That you might be responsible as an organization for if someone got hurt, if there were a crime committed, or you know, maybe somebody had an accident during one of these visits, if you will. Are you put in that kind of a position where you could be sued?
Right. Nothing's ever come up. I mean, we live in a very – what is the word? There's a word for our society.
Litigious.
Thank you. Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue. So, yeah, we're totally in a litigious society. I could be sued for somebody not liking the way somebody did their carpentry in their home through the time bank, or something even more offensive. And so far, nothing has come up like that. We do carry insurance. There is an agreement that members sign through Our World, and so it does talk about Cowrie Collective not being held responsible. But of course, you know, folks, if somebody wants to sue, they'll go that far. But we haven't had any negative experiences like that.
But if I'm a member of Cowrie and I do go to do a project for some, I am covered by that insurance.
Correct, as a member. Yeah.
When you have these social gatherings, how many people would typically show up?
We had a great one in the summer. It was the summer social. It was huge. more than just our members attended. I don't know. I'd say like at least 70 people were there. It was outside at a park in not too far from here.
Uh-huh. And how much of this is going on around the country in terms of total number of people that might be involved?
I don't know about total number of people. I would say there's hundreds of time banks, though. I bet there's at least 300 time banks in the U.S. They're more concentrated on the coast, of course, you know, California and East Coast. But, yeah, there's hundreds of folks. There's a lot of folks in the U.K. doing time banking as well. And then it's, you know, it's spreading to Central America and Africa. But one thing that's really important to note is that time banking is just the current manifestation of cooperative practices that have existed for hundreds of years among indigenous peoples throughout the world.
Okay, just to kind of tie all of this together, let me ask you to walk me through the process. I come to you and I say, gee, this sounds interesting, and I can write press releases.
I need a press release, actually.
Well, maybe we can work something out. But let's just say I come to you with that. What happens then?
Okay. So a lot of times I get emails from folks saying what you just said, and then I say, great, we'd love to have you join. I point them in the direction of the website so that they can click on that join tab and go through the Our World intake process, which is a very simple contact form. Then I get a little email. I press a yes and make you a member. And as soon as you attend a monthly orientation and pay your annual dues, then we make you an active member so you have full access to the Our World software.
And the other members would know that I'm there and what I do.
Exactly. So we have a weekly email, too, that goes out through Our World. So every Monday, all of our updates are shared via email with members. So it would say, you know, welcome to our new members.
And Don has just joined us, and he writes press releases.
Correct.
If anybody needs that. Yes, sir. And I at the same time would be saying, and I could also use someone to help me put a closet in my house.
Right. So at the orientation, we walk you through the whole process of setting up your account. So you put in a member bio. You list all the offers. Well, we suggest three, you know, not to get overboard, not to get overwhelmed. So list three offers, list three requests. And then you can wait for someone to contact you, or you can be proactive and simply email or call someone who offers the service that you would like to receive.
Do people typically bank these hours, or do they work pretty much an hour at a time?
Some people, so folks who are in the leadership team and folks who are more active, they earn a lot more calories than other members because they're helping so much and they're giving so many hours. I don't think they're purposely trying to bank them or save them. Mm-hmm. I do encourage people to look at it differently than a real bank or tangible money, and really to honor the idea of reciprocity, meaning we have to give and receive to get what we want and to build like the community that we want. And also like to go back to currency. If you take that word down to what it really means, it's current. And so current means to flow. So, you know, there's no use to us to stockpile, you know, dollars or calories. We want to keep that sharing going back and forth.
But you've reached a point now where you think that this can be expanded. You have ambitious plans to expand.
I do. I have some really good friends in Chicago that I've been talking with for a couple years, and they're involved in work that involves food and farming, and as well as a Healers of Color circle of people who are all healers and artists. And so my idea is that as Cowrie Collective expands, each affiliate in different cities might have a different feel. So, for example, in Chicago, it might be centered around food, farming, and healing services.
Well, you mentioned healing. How professional can this get? Can you get into the healthcare, medical field, and that sort of thing? Legal field?
Right. So, I didn't even mention that. So, one of the most prized exchanges that I make regularly is to receive acupuncture. So, we have two acupuncturists who are part of the Time Bank. We tend to have folks who are in the alternative health field. I'm not getting advice from a medical, you know, from an MD, but I have received like holistic health advice and services.
But it's out there, and could be ultimately you could go that way.
Correct.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
We have an exciting announcement. We've just received our first major grant from Incarnate Word Foundation. And so we're going to be continuing work in a project called Time for Food. And so that project is going to involve time banking and food and farming. We're setting up a time bank farmers market next year where folks would only exchange in time credits instead of money. And we're partnering with New Roots Urban Farm, which is a longtime member of the Time Bank. And also the members are a really good friend of mine.
So what would happen there? I would go out and I would work on the farm in exchange for food? Is that basically it?
Basically, yeah. So we're going to be setting up the amount of hours that would be required to get maybe half a CSA share or a CSA share at New Roots.
CSA being?
Community Supported Agriculture.
Yeah.
So you could get a share of food, and or you might just get, you know, a couple handfuls of greens or a couple bunches of greens. And so it's going to be a way to bring support to urban farmers and be able to do like maybe day-long intensive projects with a bunch of members there, as well as for members to be able to get food and to really kind of start looking at food as currency as well, because that's one of our basic needs.
Boy, it would seem to me in mentioning that this would be a godsend for people of limited means. You know, we talk about food deserts in certain part of our community here where spending a little time could solve part of that problem.
For sure. And the project is actually located in a food desert. So New Roots Urban Farm is located in St. Louis Place neighborhood. So that's a 63106 zip code. And that is officially a designated USDA food desert. So I'm really excited to get the neighbors involved directly. And we're going to be concentrating our recruitment efforts for the Time Bank in that zip code as well.
Is this the demographic to which this would be most advantageous, do you think? The people of I hate to use terms like this, but people on the lower rungs of the economic ladder?
For sure. I mean, I started the Time Bank because I was a new mom. I had decided to stay home with my daughter, and I wasn't making a lot of money because I was just taking small teaching contracts here and there. My bills were piling up, and I was starting to feel really crippled by that. And so there's a variety of reasons people could and should join a Time Bank. But for sure, if you're not having a bunch of money to meet your needs, but then you realize you have something to give and you have time, and that's valued as money, then your whole world opens.
Well, congratulations on the grant. I'm sure that's something that you feel very, very good about. And congratulations on what you're doing. It's a most interesting concept.
Thank you so much.
And our thanks to Shinyeri Ote, the founder of Cowrie Collective Time Bank. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.